Today, Dee and I want to share with you the victor's imagination. The victor's imagination. Scripture says the Philistine army occupied one hill and the Israeli army another. A champion named Goliath shouted, "I defy Israel." We all know the story of David and Goliath and how this huge man, probably more than 9 feet tall, well armored, well supplied with military equipment, stood in the valley and shouted his defiance to Israel's army. Now listen to what happened. Here we're going to read about a loser's imagination. You see, a loser's imagination visualizes personal defeat. And here's what happened. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 8 through 11, and then verse 24.
Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified.
And notice, Saul and all his army were dismayed and terrified. Here were these well-trained, well-qualified soldiers. Well, I guess in our language today, we would say they were scared to death of this giant Goliath. Then, we're going to continue looking at a loser's imagination in verse 24, 1 Samuel 17.
When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear.
Terrified, dismayed, great fear. You see, a loser's imagination always visualizes personal defeat. But now, let's look at a victor's imagination. The young David. A victor's imagination visualizes personal success. Listen to David's words, 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 and verse 37.
David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you."
You see, David's words were so different than King Saul and the other army members. He was predicting victory over Goliath. So you see, all of us are controlled by either a loser's imagination or a victor's imagination. It doesn't depend on our circumstances. David was in the same situation as the Israeli army, and yet he visualized success. The others visualized failure. Okay, let's go to the Word, and let's see how we let a victor's imagination control us. First of all, we must start seeing God as our loyal partner. He is not a partner who's here today and gone tomorrow. He is loyal to us. God was Israel's partner. For centuries, God had pronounced verse after verse, statement after statement, promise after promise, that he was Israel's loyal partner. Let's go all the way back to Abraham's time. Genesis 12, verse 7.
The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land."
Look at that. God was committing himself to Abraham's offspring. That was David, that was King Saul, that was the Israeli army. And God was saying, "I'm going to give your offspring this land." So you see, God was saying, "I'm going to be your partner, Israel." Listen to Deuteronomy 28, verse number 13.
The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom.
What promises? God will say, hey, I'm going to take you and we are going to be partners. Listen to this short phrase from Matthew 28, verse number 20. Here Jesus commits himself to being our senior partner, it says.
Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
Always with you to the end of the age. Partners commit themselves and their resources to helping their companion. So that's what God did. That's what God is doing for you and me. He commits his infinite person and his inexhaustible resources to helping us, his companions. He's unending. His resources cannot be exhausted. So, you see, brother, sister, why we should see ourselves and visualize ourselves as victors? Listen to the words of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 6.
So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?
The Lord is my helper, we say. What can man do to me? Listen to Isaiah 41, verse 13.
For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you.
So, brother, sister, we want to start seeing God as our loyal partner. We want to start programming our minds, our imaginations, to see only him. I love this picture of Isaiah 41:13. The Lord your God will hold you by your right hand. Now, can you visualize a parent holding their child's right hand, their young child's right hand, as they start to cross the street or walk to a shop? God says, I will hold you by your right hand, saying, fear not, I will help you. So you see, brother, sister, we cultivate a victor's imagination by causing our minds to see God as our loyal partner. David's confidence in his partner created confidence in himself. That's what's going to happen to you and me. As we start looking to God and seeing God and regarding God as our loyal partner, our confidence in him will create confidence in ourselves. I know there have been times in my life and my ministry whenever things weren't going well. Maybe I wasn't being fruitful like I imagined, and my self-confidence began wavering. It always wavers. My self-confidence, your self-confidence, always wavers. Not because we have our eyes on self, but because we've taken our eyes off of God. God confidence creates self-confidence. So here was David, long before he became king of Israel. He was running for his life. King Saul had issued a death threat. He was chasing David with about 3,000 trained warriors. And in the midst of all this turmoil and all this danger and all this tragedy, here's what David wrote. You see, he's going to write about his partner, his confidence in his partner. This is what it says, Psalm 57, verse 2.
I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me.
Notice David's words. I cry out to God who fulfills his purpose for me. It didn't look like God's promises and purposes would ever be fulfilled for David. But David wasn't discouraged because he saw God as his loyal partner. Notice the words again. I cry out to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Brother, sister, let me ask you. Are you in the process of fulfilling God's promises for your life? No, you're not. Does the church fulfill his promises for you? No. Does anyone fulfill God's purposes for you except God? No. He alone makes promises, and He alone brings them to pass. Let's read David's words, Psalm 138, the first part of verse number 8.
The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me.
How plain, how beautiful. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Brother, sister, no matter how well you're doing in life, God is the one who's blessing you. God is the one who's fulfilling His purposes. Every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven, comes down from the heavenly One with whom there is no shadow of turning. See God as your loyal partner when things are going great and when things are not going so great. What we want to do, we want to fill our imaginations with portraits of our partner. We want to fill our imaginations with portraits of our partner. Let's read David's words, Psalm 27, verse number 4.
One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple.
Here David made a request, that I may dwell all the days of my life in the house of the Lord. Why? Why did he want to dwell in the house of the Lord? Now, by that, he didn't mean just a temple. He meant a relationship. He wanted to walk with God. Why did Psalm 27:4 say he wanted this relationship? So he could gaze on the Lord. Did you find that last part, Dee, about gazing on the Lord?
Yes, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord.
There it is. He wanted to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. To gaze means to look steadily at, to look eagerly at, to look earnestly at, or admiringly. So David wanted to paint his mind with portraits of his partner. He wanted his mind to be an art gallery upon which hung all the various portraits of his heavenly God, the one he loved. So, brother, sister, we want to fill our imaginations with portraits of our partner, our heavenly one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we go to the Word. And in the Word, we find these beautiful pictures of God. Ezekiel, Revelation, all describe God. Maybe not in great detail, but at least there is enough detail that we can visualize or imagine what God looks like. But more than that, you find portraits in the Word of God, word descriptions, words that paint pictures of your God. These portraits are painted on your heart, on your spirit. And then Jesus brings them to your memory whenever you really need to know that God is near. I read just this week, John 14, verse 26. Jesus said He would send the Holy Spirit to us to help us recall all He spoke. So you see, God the Spirit is in charge of bringing to our memory beautiful pictures of God. That's what happened to David. When he stood before King Saul, and King Saul said, "You can't go out against this great warrior. You're merely a youth, and he's been trained in warfare from the time he was a young man." Immediately, David began recalling portraits of God. He said, "Saul, I remember when I was shepherding my father's sheep, a bear attacked. He snatched the sheep, but I went after the bear, caught it by its beard, and slew it." You see, David was remembering victories God had given him. So, basically, through the victories God gave, David saw the Lord. And so he said, "Saul, the God who gave me victory over the bear will give me victory over Goliath. On another occasion, King, a lion attacked. stole a sheep. I went after it. I slew it. And God, the God who gave me that victory, will give me future victory. So, brother and sister, go to the Word. Fill yourself with the Word. Even read the parts of the Word that seem boring. Words that maybe seem to have no application to your life. Go ahead and read them anyway. And let God paint portraits on your heart. In fact, let me share with you what God's done for me the last few years. I've read Isaiah many, many, many times. There are several verses in Isaiah which are predictions of King Cyrus defeating the Babylonians, events that took place hundreds of years before Jesus was born. I've read these predictions for years and never really saw much in them until just the last few years. For example, I was reading Isaiah chapter 48, verse 15. And again, it's predicting that Cyrus will defeat the Babylonians. And yet, one day I read it, and that verse leaped off the page. It applies to everybody in the ministry, every missionary, every pastor, every Sunday school teacher, every boys or girls leader, everyone who does anything for the Lord. It applies to you. Here's what it says. I, even I, have spoken. Yes, I have called him. He will succeed in his mission. And as I read that, it became a portrait of my heavenly partner, because God is speaking. I, even I, have spoken. Yes, I have called James Fields, or I have called Susie Ortegon, or I have called Dolores Fields, or I have called Benny Graham. Yes, I have called him. He will succeed. She will succeed in their mission. So you see, brother, sister, the Bible is full of beautiful portraits of your God. So fill your imagination with them. But secondly, not only do we want to see God as our loyal partner, but we want to stand guard over our victor's imagination. You see, God restored to you a victor's imagination at your new birth. Let's remind ourselves of what God did for us when we accepted Jesus as our Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
If you're in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come. So you see, God restored to every one of us a victor's imagination on the day of our new birth. But Satan wishes to rob us of our victor's imagination. Satan wants to rob you of your victor's imagination, just like he robbed Israel's army. Now listen to this. Very familiar scripture. Genesis chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Here we see Satan attacking the human race. They were born with, let me rephrase that. They were created with victor's imaginations. But look at what Satan did, Genesis 3, verse 5 and 6.
For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it.
So there we see Satan attacking their minds, because he wanted to rob them of their victor's imagination. Look at what Goliath said to David. As Goliath practiced psychological warfare. Basically, that's what Satan does to every one of us. He is practicing psychological warfare to take away our victor's imagination so we will see ourselves as defeated instead of victorious. 1 Samuel 17. Verse 43, verse 44.
He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.
here, this huge man, well armored with the latest equipment of that day, said to David, "Come here. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." You see, he was trying to rob David of his victor's imagination so David would go back to the ranks of Israel and say, "I can't defeat that man." Now, we have three opponents, not just the devil. The devil's a real opponent, but we have two other opponents. One is called sinful human nature, and the other is called the world. The unsaved social system, the anti-Christian social system that is all around us. They are all three trying to rob us of our victor's imagination. Listen to these words. Psalm 35, verse number 11.
Ruthless witnesses come forward. They question me on things I know nothing about.
Now, here is a beautiful description of how our sinful human nature treats us. It says, ruthless witnesses come forward and question me on things I know nothing about. So that's the way it works. Our own inner nature, our own Adamic nature, that which we inherited from Adam, it questions us. It says, how do you think you're going to be victorious? How do you think God's going to bless you? You're not worthy. You see, brother, sister, you must recognize that as sinful human nature. And we must stand guard against the devil, against the world, and against our sinful human nature. We must stand guard over our victor's imagination. Look at what David did whenever Goliath threatened him. When Goliath said, "I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air, the beasts of the field," here's how David responded. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, verse 46.
David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel."
You know why David talked like that? Because he was standing guard over his victor's imagination. He refused to let Goliath have the last word. So, brother, sister, sometimes we have to enter into mental battles. Mental battles. Where we say, "I am not going to yield to this discouragement. I am not going to yield to this hopelessness. I am not going to yield to anything that is defeatist. I'm going to believe the word of the Lord." You see, not only did Satan attack Adam and Eve's victor's imagination, but he did the same thing with Jesus. Let's read Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6.
"The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to.'"
Here Satan somehow showed Jesus all the splendor of all the kingdoms of the world. He was appealing to Jesus' imagination. And he said, "If you'll worship me, I'll give it all to you." But Jesus was on the alert. He knew he had to stand guard over that victor's imagination that God had given him. And so he rejected outright. He said, "Satan, it is written, you must worship the Lord your God and him alone." So, brother, sister, please stand up. In fact, let me give you one more verse about our victor's imagination and how we must guard it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7.
"Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray."
Be clear-minded and self-controlled. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray or so you can spend time alone with God. He's talking about taking care of our mental thoughts. He was talking about taking care of our thought life. So, brother, sister, that's what we want to do. God gave us a victor's imagination. He gave us a book, both the Old Testament and New Testament, which stimulates victorious imaginations. He's saying, you have a victor's imagination. Now hold on to it at all cost. Well, look now, brother and sister, at what happened to David because he was controlled by a victor's imagination. I'm going to quote part of a verse from Romans chapter 4, verse 17. A victor's imagination speaks of the non-existent things as if they existed. A victor's imagination speaks of the non-existent things as if they existed. That is faith. Well, it's exactly what David did. Let's read his words once again. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. Here it says,
the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.
The Lord will deliver. Future tense. He was expressing his victor's imagination, which saw non-existent things as if they existed. Everyone else anticipated defeat except David. Brother, sister, let me ask you to go to the Word, to spend that private time worshiping God, and you will be controlled by a victor's memory, a victor's imagination, and will march into all the good things God has for you. Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you, and we thank you for holding to your victor's imagination. Now, Jesus, empower us to walk in your steps. Empower us to walk in David's steps so that, Lord, we will value our victor's imagination and go on into all the good things, all the wonderful benefits and blessings that you promised us. We glorify you, Jesus, for you are our everlasting victory. In the name of Jesus, amen.